If you got your Bibles tonight, let's run over to the book of Joshua, chapter number 7, and we are picking up where we left off at, amen. And I hope that you have been encouraged as we have been going through the book of Joshua, as we've gone through the different stories and how God used these things to help us, and realizing that we can overcome as we trust and follow the Lord, amen. So once you get to Joshua, chapter number 7, let's run and let's stand first, and then run over to chapter 7, and we'll read verse number 2, and then we'll pray, and I ask God for his help tonight. That's Joshua chapter number 7 and verse number 2. And the Bible says, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. And some people actually pronounce it Ai. But anyway, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. We're going to stop there. We're going to talk tonight on this little thought, continuing on part 2 of Trouble in Canaan. Trouble in Canaan, part 2, and we're going to be dealing with overconfidence. Overconfidence. Father, I pray, God, for your help tonight. And I pray and ask God that you help each of us to realize there's nothing wrong with having confidence, but there's something, very wrong when we are overconfident, because when we're overconfident, it can lead to much trouble and perhaps even disaster in our life. I pray, God, that you feel the Spirit of God. I pray, God, you got my speech and my actions, all that I say and that I do. I pray, God, you help me to bring forth the Word of God. I pray, God, you help me, Lord, to dish out the food. And I pray, God, that each of us, myself included, will consume that food and let it work on the inside of our life and do what is necessary and what needs to be done, and that God will shout hallelujah. I pray, God, to help somebody tonight. Why? Because somebody needs your help. I pray, God, that each soul will leave here today, God, encouraged, motivated, inspired, and ready to fight the good fight of faith. Not to quit, but to keep on fighting. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. Help somebody, please, sir, and we'll thank you once again. Forgive us for our sins and all of our shortcomings. Help us to die to ourselves and to live each and every day for our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. That's it for now. If I left anything out, yes, sir, meet that need as well. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe see that. Trouble in Canaan, part 2, overconfidence. We talked last Sunday on the message, Trouble in Canaan, part 1, the self-willed soldier. We had Achan, and Achan decided, I know what God's will is. What was God's will? Leave that stuff alone, amen, and give it all to God. But instead, Achan said, my desire is to take this stuff. And when he took that stuff, my dear friends, it caused there to be trouble in Canaan. And remember, as I've said before, that Canaan is not a type of heaven, but Canaan is a type of the Christian life. When you and I got born again, when you and I got saved, we cross over into Canaan. And just like the Israelites, they are in Canaan, but there's no complete peace in Canaan. They're going to have so many battles to fight in Canaan. Just like you and I. When you and I get saved, when you and I are born again and placed in God's family, we have battles that we're going to face. We have battles that we're going to fight. But there's a God that wants us to win the battles, but we have to do it God's way. Now, the first thing we'll look at here tonight is that word overconfidence. What is overconfidence? Overconfidence means this: too confident. That's deep, man. Too confident. But also has a synonym that means cockiness. And you heard people say, man, he's so cocky. Look at him. You know, walking around here like he's gonna whoop everybody. Well, sometimes, my dear friends, if you and I are not careful, we become overconfident. And usually, if we become overconfident, it's because we have probably had a victory that was very nearby. And it's the same thing with Israel. They have just conquered Jericho. The walls have come down. And now, my friends, they're about to face a people in Ai, my dear friends. And once you're going to see in a few moments, they're going to see these people and say, man, we can whoop them. We don't need to take but a few folks down there. And they're going to find that being overconfident will cause you to lose the battle. I can't help it, but I always think about Mike Tyson. And when Mike Tyson would get in the ring, he'd have those black shoes on. No socks, I think, right? No socks. He'd have them black shoes on, and he'd have those black trunks on. And he'd be like a pit bull. I mean, just seeing him over there, like he just it's like he's on a chain, just ran to go. And then guy'd be sitting over there, they'd be like, I don't want to be here. But what happened, my friends, there was a fight that he had where he was overconfident. And anytime you are overconfident and you face a guy named Buster and you lose, you know you're overconfident. And that was his name. His name was Buster Douglas. Now, a name like that means I should whoop him with no problem whatsoever. But I'm going to tell you what, when he got in the ring with Buster Douglas busted him upside his head and he hit the ground. I always see his mouthpiece were hanging out. He was laying on the camera and he was trying to grab us up. I said, oh, well, Mike's out. Amen. And I know a lot of y'all Mike Tyson fans, but that, you know, but he was overconfident. And when you are overconfident, it can lead to great disaster and great defeat. Now, what we see, first of all, though, here's this. We see the preparation or the planning. The Bible says in verse number 2, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. Now, that word here, Ai, and like I said, if you listen to it, they also pronounce it I, but the name itself means a heap of ruins. So you go and look at a place that's a heap of ruins, you figure, well, we're going to be easy to defeat some people with a name like that. But then the Bible goes on to say, my dear friends, that which is beside Beth-Aven. Beth-Aven means this, a house of vanity. House of vanity. And then the Bible says it was on the east side of Bethel, which of course is a house of God. I was like, wow. Here you have a house of vanity. You have a house of God. And then you have the place of ruin, so to speak, in the middle. And oftentimes, my dear friends, if you and I are not careful, we'll choose a house of ruin and not the house of God, and we'll wind up having defeat take place in our life. The Bible goes on to say here, my dear friends, he says, go up and view the country, and the men went up. He says, go spy it out, check it out. Now, that's good. We should plan. As a matter of fact, when Moses was about to go into Canaan the first time, he sent out spies. And when they came the next time. What did Joshua do? He sent out spies. Listen, my dear friends, these spies were to view the land, check things out. They were making plans and making preparation. And by the way, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to plan and make preparation. It's a good thing, my dear friends, to have wise counsel and good advice. Let me show you. Look what the Bible says over here in Proverbs chapter number 20 and verse 18. Proverbs 20 and look down at verse number 18. Proverbs 20 and look at verse 18. Look what the Bible says about preparation. Look what the Bible says about planning. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 18, every purpose, and that word purpose means plan, every purpose, every plan is established by counsel. Now, the word establish means this. It means, my dear friends, to be stable. So he goes on, so it actually says this. Every purpose or every plan is stable. It's established by counsel. And the word counsel means advice. Now, you know how we are sometimes about advice. I don't need no advice. I know what to do. I'm not going to ask nobody. I can help myself. You know, and Brett will forgive me later. But we was talking about, and I mentioned before, when he talked about fried chicken. And he don't eat, you still eat fried chicken, all right? But he don't fry no fried chicken. He tried to fry something one time and didn't come out too well. I said, oh man, he said, I ain't frying no chicken. I said, well, why don't you ask somebody to show you? I ain't asking nobody. I like chicken. I eat chicken. I ain't going to cook no chicken. And I ain't going to ask nobody advice on how to cook no chicken. So therefore, your pork chicken won't have no chicken. But is that not how we are, though? I mean, now, probably, if you used to ask somebody, and they'll show him, and man, you could be frying up you some good old fried chicken. I'm talking about some hot wings and some the breast, and just, man, just have some good chicken, some nice, I mean, you could be throwing down. But, Brett said, no. He gonna be 75 years old. Brett be frying chicken. Huh? I ain't gonna ask somebody. I'm gonna tell you what, Face, he be frying up chicken. Daddy, I'll show you how. But sometimes that's how we are, though. We don't want to ask advice. But the Bible says, my dear friends, if you're not asking advice, the Bible says every purpose, every plan is established, is stable by counsel. It's stable by advice. But they ask, so you understand this, and with what good advice make war? The words good advice are one Hebrew word, my dear friends, which means good guidance or good direction. So you're not going to take advice from anybody. You need to make sure, I need to make sure we have some good advice, good direction. Okay? And we have good advice and good direction. The Bible says here, then we'll be able to make war. And that word make war means to battle. But if you and I are going to go into a battle without any advice or any good advice, then more than likely, my dear friends, our battle won't be stable. It will be unstable, and we'll find ourselves being defeated. So it's a good thing to have advice. It's good to have counsel. It's good, my dear friends, to talk to others that can give you some of a counsel or advice about what you're about to do. Let me, on that same thought, look with me to Proverbs 24 and verse 6. Proverbs 24 and verse 6. The Bible says this. This is helping me too. The Bible says this. Verse 6 of Proverbs 24. For by what? Wise counsel. And the word wise counsel, those two words, are the same exact words we just read a few moments ago. He says, for by wise counsel, or by wise or good guidance or good direction, thou shalt make war or thou shalt battle. Watch this. And in multitude, many of counselors, there's what? Safety. The word counselors means to take advice. There is safety, means victory, deliverance, or help. Now, my dear friends, we've gone now into how important it is to have multiple counselors, but good counselors, good advice. For then the Bible says this, we'll have safety. And that word safety there means deliverance, victory, and also means help. It's important for us when making plans to get good advice, good counsel before we enter in that particular battle or that particular struggle or that particular fight. It's just like when Christian got ready to get married. I mean, she just gets, okay, well, she just said we're going to get married. But well, he asked her and all that stuff. But we ask advice, you know, what should we do? What should we not do? Something like this. Now, you take in that advice. It doesn't mean you have to follow all that advice. But in a multitude of advice, you'll find, oh, this will work. Me and Joel Lynn was just talking about yesterday. We was over at the funeral and at the repast over there, and how when we had all the food was left over, then they started putting them in those pans. And then Miss Jane, she went by, and what she did was the pans that had like pinto beans or, God forbid, green beans and stuff like, no, because I don't like green beans. But anyhow, she started putting the names on each one of those. Well, you know what? That really helped people to take things home because they saw, oh, this is a pan of this. Oh, this is a pan of that. I'm like, wow, that's a good idea. And then on top of that, you're going to make up your plate. If you got them all in there, you say, oh, let me get some of these green beans. Oh, let me get some of this chicken. Oh, let me get some of this. But then those containers are ready to go, my friends, but they all got their names on them. Well, you know what? That's good. That's good. And a lot of times when you get folks together, they have different ideas about things, and you say, oh, I didn't even think about that. That's a good idea. What's up? Yeah. It's good to have multiple advisors, but make sure that it's good advice. Good advice. So in other words, when Joshua sends out these wise or sends out these spies, that was a good thing. They're planning. Okay. They're going to check things out before they attack. But if you don't check things out before you attack, that could be a bad thing. Let me show you. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Proverbs 15 and verse 22. And that's in anything you do in life. Look at Proverbs 15 and look at verse number 22. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says this in Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are what? Disappointed. But the multitude of counselors, they are established. The word counselor, once again, means good counselors. We look that word up. So he says here, though, he says, without counsel, purposes or plans are disappointed. And those two words there means this. It means to break or to frustrate. And is that not the truth? If we don't get counsel at all, you and I can all be frustrated. Because sometimes, if we would just get some advice, you'll find out this is a simple fix. But I didn't know that. So because I didn't know that, now it's a difficult fix. But now I'm frustrated. You know, what's going on right here? You know, I never forget one time my mom's car. This was back in the 90s. My mom's car. We was at this funeral and we're at the cemetery. And when we got there and we tried to start the car up, it wouldn't start up. It was from the car. And that's we're trying to figure it out. It's got gas. It's got this. You know what I did? This is something. That when men do this, the angels begin to sing up in heaven. I got the book. And I opened the book up. And I began to read through the book. And you would not believe what the book said. It said, if you get gas and you don't put the top on correctly, it may cause the vehicle not to stop. I'm like, they're crazy. A gas cap? Come on, dog. A gas cap? You know what I did? I took the gas cap off. I put it back on. And that joker started right up. I was like, y'all know how we are. Maybe, man, you're lost. You're just smoking. I mean, we think somebody's crazy. But I read the book, and that's what the book said. Well, before I read the book, I was frustrated. But when I got that advice, it caused the car to start. And when I tell people that, they look at me, even now today, you are loony. You are crazy. You call me what you want to. I read the book, I did it, and it worked. So the Bible says right here, without counsel, purposes, plans are disappointed, they are frustrated, they are broken, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Let me give you one more verse on that same thought. Look with me to Proverbs 11 and verse number 14. Proverbs 11 and verse number 14. The Bible says this, on that same thought. The Bible says in verse number 14, where no counsel is, the people what? Fall. That word fall also means to fail. But in the multitude of counselors and the multitude of good advice and the multitude of good guidance, there is safety, there is deliverance, there is victory. My friends, there is stability. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but maybe you want to go out there and give me some good advice. Amen. Instead of trying to be a long ranger, but even a long ranger had Tonto. Yes, he did. Batman had Robin. Amen. Huh? I mean, listen, my dear friends. Only Superman was doing everything on his own, and that caused him problems sometimes. What are you saying, preacher? We need advice, good counsel when we're planning. Now, flip back over. Look what it says here. So we see the preparation, we see the planning. Then secondly, we see what I've termed the non-prayer meeting. Look what the Bible says here, verse 3. And they returned. These guys came back to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, to beat them up. And make not all the people to labor, to get exhausted, to tired, to toil, for they are but few. These men come back. And they tell Joshua, look, it's only a few of those folks. We're going to take this a few thousand, and then we'll whoop them. They're giving advice. That's fine. But he wants you to get advice. You should have a prayer meeting. But there's no prayer. When they got ready to fight Jericho, they talked to God. But they just had this big victory over Jericho. Now they see these little bitty people. It's just a few of them. And so, you know how we are? I got this. We ain't got to pray about that. You know? That's a small something. When the Bible said to pray about everything, to pray without ceasing, it was the Bible tells us. But the Bible says here, this is only a few of them. That's all there is. I mean, we can handle that thing. But they were overconfident. They were taking 2,000 to 3,000 people. What they didn't know, and you'll find out later in chapter number 8, verse 25, there was at least 12,000 people there. Now, if they had prayed, God could have told them that. But not only that, if they had prayed, God could have told them there's a problem in the camp. There's sin in the camp. Because don't forget y'all about Achan.
Because of what Achan has done. Remember we read over here? Let me show you. Look, it says in verse number 1, the latter part. The Bible says, because of what Achan had done, the Bible says this. The Bible says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled, was hot. He was on fire against the children of Israel. Because of what Achan had done, God had taken his hand, had taken his power off of Israel. So, if Israel had to went and they checked things out, and it's okay, let's not go have a prayer meeting. If they had to pray, my dear friends, God could have told them, hey, we got some issues we got to take care of. There's a sin problem, and there's a people problem, because there's more than what you actually think that there is there. But nobody consults God. Nobody talks to God. And sometimes, my friends, it seems like with something simple, it's an easy fix, we're not going to pray. And it's not because we're being mean or ugly. It's always to be honest. Yeah, because we're being mean or ugly. We just ain't thought about it sometimes. Or we're so overconfident, we got this. You got to face the situation. Now, Jesse prayed about school, about the math. Okay? Did you ask us about, pray about English? Okay. What are you got? Math? English?
Spanish?
Bible, and government. Now, you didn't ask a prayer on all those, did you? No, because some of those you feel like you know. Not that you was being mad at God or mean, or, I ain't going to ask God for nothing, but that math thing, man, that was a rough one, and probably a couple of other ones. But some of those, I didn't even know you had them other classes. But are we not the same way? There's some spiritual classes that we deem very difficult. So therefore, we're going to bring those things up before the Lord and then even ask others to pray about those situations as well. But then some of the classes, which we look at as, what's some of the classes they call in college, where they're like, like electives. Normally elective is what? Something you figure, that's a piece of cake. That's not depending on what your elective is. It might be some other ones. That's another name they may call them. I don't know. I ain't in college. But nonetheless, though, that means something simple. But sometimes that thing that's simple can be the biggest problem that you and I have. And what they should have done was had a prayer meeting. Because look what happens next. We see, my dear friends, the non-prayer meeting, and then we see the nullified victory. Nullified victory. Because there could have been a victory, but it was nullified. It was void. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 4. So they went up thither, the Bible says, so they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and they smote them in the going down, wherefore the heart of the people melted and became as water. My soul. They just had a big victory at Jericho. But now, my dear friends, we see that this victory has been nullified because of sin and because of them not consulting with God in prayer. And the Bible says, my dear friends, that these men of Ai beat them up. The word smoke means to beat. It means to strike, to kill, to slay about 36 of them. What are you saying, preacher? Because of Achan's sin and because of not praying and talking to God, 36 men lost their lives. They didn't have to die. But somebody's sin affected 36 men. We're going to see more about that in a little bit. Even more folks going to die over all this. So when we say, my sin only affects me, no, your sin don't. Your sin will affect every person's life that touches your life. They will be affected. So the next time somebody gets in a car and says, you know what, I know I'm drunk driving and it ain't going to affect nobody else, and they get in there and I'm killing somebody, or even their own self, or they're hurt or whatever. Because sometimes we think, well, even people who, like a person, we hear a lot about young people taking their life. You know, but when they take their life, they feel like, you know, I have nothing worth living for. But when they take their lives, who are affected by that? Not just them. They got parents, they got siblings, they got relatives, they got close friends who are hurt, who are devastated. Because of what they have done to themselves, thinking it's only going to affect them and nobody else. Everything that we do affects someone else. whether it be good or whether it be bad. And when Achan sinned, my dear friends, it caused 36 men to lose their lives. When they did not pray, it caused 36 men to lose their lives because somebody didn't do what they need to do. It also affected somebody else as well. The Bible says right here, my dear friends, that they took off running before the gate. That means right there at the opening, at the entrance. They come in there, man, we about to whoop some folks. And all of a sudden, here they go, they're running. Man, they getting it. Because they didn't have God's power on them. They took off running. And then the Bible says this, what it says later on. It says here, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. The word hearts there means the heart, the inner man, the soul, the mind of the people melted. The word melted means to be discouraged. It means to liquefy, to faint. Their hearts just melted. Because now you know what's happening? They're embarrassed. You ever get whooped by somebody you should have whooped? Then that's going to embarrass you. It'll cause you to lose heart. It'll cause you to melt. It'll cause you to become discouraged. But they did not have to be discouraged. If they had sought God first, he could have told them, wait a minute, there's a problem here. Let's get this settled. And then you can have the victory. Because we're going to see, not tonight, we're going to see Sunday, where they do talk to God. And when God tells them what's up, and when they take care of the situation, we'll see they begin to get the victory. Now, here's my questions for us tonight. First question is this. Have you checked in about your situation? Have you checked in with God yet? Have you checked in with God yet? I'm talking about from the major to the minor. Have you checked in with God yet? Secondly, have you underestimated the battle? Maybe we've done it in the past. Maybe we've done it here recently. But have you underestimated the battle? You don't think it's going to take this much. It's just a simple little thing. Thirdly, has your heart melted because of defeat? Has your heart melted because of defeat? You were expecting a great victory, but instead you got a defeat. If that be the case, let's do this. Let's talk to Jehovah God and get good instructions from him on what to do. Anytime I get a defeat in my life, there's a battle that I'm seemingly about to lose, whatever, I'm going to ask God, what's going on? Is there something, God, between you and I? Did I do something, Lord, that some sin that I commit, that I'm getting chastised for this? Is this why this happened? Lord, I'm asking you, Lord. And if the Lord doesn't tell me that that's the case, then I'm going to say, well, is it just the Satan attacking me? Is this just a battle I'm in? Then God, and then you give me strength, and you give me courage. Because if it's a battle, if it's just the enemy attacking you, what you need, my dear friends, is increased faith, increased confidence, things of that nature. But if it's a sin that you and I have committed that's caused to have a defeat, then what we need is this, confession. We just confess to God and say, God, you know, I've sinned. I'm confessing my sin to you. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. I'm asking you to wash me. And the Bible says here that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then, my friends, we have that fellowship restored like it needs to be. But all these things come about when we talk to him about them. When we pray and talk to God. So that's my question for you tonight. And that's my statement. Let's talk to Jehovah God. Let's get some good instructions from him. Why, preacher? Because if we become overconfident, that means we can have defeat. Father, thank you for your meaningful blessings. And I just pray, God, for this.